Rusty Quill presents.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
After our crew is subjected to a suspect lineup, Senior Diplo Beefs Impartial takes charge of their interrogation, claiming sufficient evidence to warrant more serious measures, including the confiscation of their property. Fortunately for our fools, old dog Crater Wayne has learned a few new tricks and stealthily summons an unseen servant to hide their contraband. Unable to put sufficient pressure on our party, Beefs attempts to negotiate, promising clemency with one hand while threatening more rigorous questioning with the other. But it is clear Beefs would prefer to keep the details of the theft a private matter. Characteristically uncooperative, the crew mocks Beefs until they are informed they are to be released into the custody of an unnamed individual. And so the crew departs the precinct, leaving a thoroughly roasted Beefs in their wake. But not before they encounter the other members of the Impartial household. While Celestine exchanges pleasantries with Cake, young Wellington discreetly hands off his father's stolen ring to Riot. Outside, our party finds awaiting them a limousine, and within, the one who bailed them out, Lux Booker. Lux and Riot engage in tense conversation regarding the ring and regarding Riot's schedule of public appearances leading up to CGA to begin immediately as the limo drops them off at a special event. Riot causes a true calamity of a distraction, openly announcing her presence in Paragarden for the first time, while allowing Crater and Celestine to slip off for a chat with Teaspoon, also in attendance. They covertly convey to Teaspoon that they are here to help and have met with Finale 13. Teaspoon, meanwhile, subtly hints at a surprise plan for CGA, and ominously suggests she and Riot have more in common than it might seem. Back at Sister Mary Viable, the crew give Beef's ring to J. Detective, who decodes the stolen documents. Within, he finds information suggesting Uncle Edict believes the final day of this year bears significance to the collective journey. Another revelation is a list of legacy android parts, with notes indicating how many generations the part had been passed down. The crew recognizes these as stolen parts, so no one is surprised to see Crater's limbic sensor on the list. Though it is a shock to learn that his limbic sensor is over 1600 years old.
I can hear you. I am listening. I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Kalai.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork,
the neon,
the networks.
These metropolises, these
verdant,
desolate biomes. Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success.
You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we've been compromised. But do not despair.
You will
see the world.
You will
know Planet Arcana.
You will find
a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little sweat. All it takes is a key.
The mere 24 hours you spent hunting Vlad through the networks, being caught and questioned by the Diplos, speaking in code with both Lux and then Teaspoon, and then finally uncovering the secret of Beef's documents, it's beyond what most people could survive. You found yourself exhausted for a few days, which was somewhat convenient, as JD advised you to lay low for a little bit. Aside from your daily and surface pleasant check-ins with Lux, you've had a comfortable few days of no obligations and, blessedly, rest. It's been 3 or 4 days since you got home from the precinct, and you're settling in for another night's rest. But once again, you are pulled from your restful states and into the networks. It's that familiar feeling. A sudden fall without a landing, a sharp breath in where there's no air, everything engulfing you while nothingness goes on forever. You're in the networks. Last time you were here, you made the conscious decision to go in, to hunt. This time, once again, you're pulled in while you're trying to rest, and another familiar feeling surfaces, a choice between two. Crater, we're going to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
The choice isn't as abstract this time. You see two branching paths from yourself. To one side, a light-drenched Crater repeating a loop of lifting a small being into the air. And to the other, a full moon and starry sky twinkles over a loop of a proudly marching Crater. And you hear two voices in tandem.
Crater, this is your legacy.
I choose to go towards the moon.
The two diametric skies spiral into each other, forming a new scene. You find yourself in an overlit sterile room, machines humming rhythmically in the background. You're alone, save for a being supine on a metal slab table. It's an android, yes, but you don't sense a consciousness. It's difficult to place this android as a steam, gears, or cloud build. Here and there, maybe, but the frame is made up of so many different pieces, it's impossible to say which is the most prevalent.
The desire to pass on the best piece of yourself is your choice to make. You can take it back, Crater. Our legacy can be yours once more.
Crater,
Do you want to take back your limbic sensor?
I mean, I do. I want to have the choice myself to give it away, not have it taken away from me.
You walk over to the slab. You know where the limbic sensor is, a delicate and vulnerable spot at the nape of the neck. Your strong but gentle hands flip the being over, and there's an opening. In the middle of a bunch of wires carrying quick and tiny spheres of light, you see it, and it's yours. Finally, again, you reach in and take it. The rhythm of the machines alter. A frantic beeping starts. The vision becomes abstract, the sterile room starting to spiral away in the background, leaving only this being in your hands as you become filled with a sense of control.
Riot. You see two branching paths, two Riots, back to back, their profiles to you. To one side, she stands atop a stone staircase, reaching out to officials, authority. To the other, she's on a stage, reaching out to a sprawling crowd of cheering fringe folk. And you too hear two voices in tandem.
Riot, this is your dominion.
I choose the path of justice.
The two Riots hurriedly, stiffly straighten up, and each take a step, both backwards and to the side, melding into one another, facing forward. And you become them. You're on a stage in Paragarden. Spotlights circle around in the sky before they all spin around and point at you. A hush falls over the crowd. You try to move, but there's resistance. Countless golden threads wrapped around you, taut in every direction.
Riot. Every good leader imagines a new world for the people that reside in it. You are primed to become the face of order. Riot, do you want to rule absolutely?
No. No, I don't.
The golden threads tighten around you and snake towards your core, where you look down and see your own thread emerge. A sense of panic arises and culminates in a moment of stillness before the threads break off of you and get yanked into the darkness beyond. You reach out for them, but the vision cuts and leaves only a lingering sense of lost control. Celestine. Two pinwheels, spinning gently, occasionally overlapping. You're in both of them, but your focus is drawn to the people surrounding you, your companions.
Mr. Wanderoff.
Celestine, this is your purpose.
Celestine has been worried about making this choice since the vision in the network, but I think he doesn't feel like this is a commitment necessarily, and his curiosity forces him to choose the path of the star.
Both pinwheels spin faster and faster and drift towards the other. It's dizzying, familiar, and unknown, and you're spinning too. There are faces spinning around you. You think you catch sight of Riot, Crater, Sombra, but it's too much, and you can't latch on. You're jerked upright, no longer spinning. You're in a field. The grass is low, the sky high above, nothing to see for miles. But you feel a pull deep in your core towards a sight unknown, and you know that following this pull will reveal memories left behind.
I want to help you reconnect, Celestine, not just for your own peace, but for the well-being of the world. There is a purpose greater than most mortals could ever dream of.
Celestine, do you want to find what you want to remember?
Yes.
You're no longer alone in the field. There's now a shed directly in front of you. Your feet don't move, but it's still getting closer to you. Sombra is there now, too. She stands beside the shed, smiling gently, an arm outstretched. You're getting closer. It's getting closer. Another being is walking toward the door of the shed. A triangular jointed cloud android with a window to their heart. It's 13. They unlock the shed door and walk in, and you follow.
You see them grab something old and electronic off the shelf. It's abstract, hard to distinguish, but you somehow know what this is. And the vision fades gently away in the breeze through the grass as you whisper the name of this device. Receiver.
You all come back to consciousness, Celestine waking up, literally saying the word receiver. And similar to last time you were all pulled into the networks against, well, not by choice, you remember pieces of each other's visions, of each other's dreams. In fact, they're becoming quite clear. You awake in the hermit room.
Ugh.
What does it mean?
Indeed. God, I don't feel rested anyway, so that's great. How are you two doing?
I agree, Ms. Riot. I was far too unsettling to be restful. I take it you all saw much as much of my experience as I saw of yours.
Sure did.
I will say I was quite surprised to see 13 there.
Yeah, that seems strange, no?
That's the first time I've ever seen them connected to any of my visions from the Arcana, and I can't help but feel that it means they have some part to play in what we're doing here.
You have any guesses of what this receiver thing is?
Now, DMs, are we talking about a common android part here that, like, we as androids might know of, or at the very least Crater might know of, because he's got all of his adult android memories?
All of you can make a, let's call it an Arcana check.
15.
9.
Okay.
11.
Okay.
Never forget.
Oh my
gosh. Wow.
Bless. I would say with that, all of you are pretty clear that a receiver is not a typical part of an android. Celestine, as the word kind of comes to your mind and you start to just ruminate on it a little bit, it does sound like a familiar part technology having to do with a creation point, but you can't remember past that. Like, you might have heard it, or perhaps a memory just jogs and you don't know where it comes from. You know it has something to do with a creation point, but you're not sure what.
I think I might need to visit another creation point soon and see if there is something that I can glean from the information there at one of the servers that will help us understand what this receiver is, or what it was meant to do.
Did I recognize that shed that I saw?
It almost looks like it was pulled from the area where 13 lives. Like, it looks like it was a transplanted structure into this, like, fields that you were dreaming of. Those two visions shouldn't have gone together. The shed, I don't think you've been in a shed like that, but it does look like a place that would be, like, near the cathedral or behind it or something like that.
All right.
Maybe we should pay a visit to 13.
I was thinking the same thing. And if I'm not mistaken, we do owe a debt to the Paragarden Fae.
That we do. This is a crazy thought, but you say you want to go to a creation point. I think the nearest one is the one in the Fae Fields, no? The one that we went to with Tudor Spruce.
Paragarden is, like, equidistant between the Fae Fields one and one a bit north, which you haven't been to together.
I was just thinking, you know, we're going to go, if we do go to pay our debt to the Fae, there's a chance that there's some magic there that they might be able to go in between, especially given the magnitude of the Fae Fields. I don't know if that's something we could broach, but, like, maybe you could just go on a trip with them. Maybe you could just, like, pop in, pop out, get some info.
I would certainly be willing to take whatever assistance they could offer, provided it doesn't increase our truth or dare debt to them. I think we are in over our heads enough in that regard, but I also am concerned about not being able to return easily and what might happen if we are found, or if any of us is discovered to have left Paragarden while the Diplos are watching us. But Ms. Riot, you do bring up a good point, and if it's possible to do, then I would do it.
All right. We'll put the feelers out when we go and face what we're owing.
It's like a gallows march on our way to play truth or dare.
It's just just icky, you know?
I think they make it ickier than it needs to be, too. There's a lot of kissing.
What are you talking about?
It's exactly above board. Icky as truth or dare always is.
Oh, yeah.
Kissy and pissy.
Probably. I don't know. They seem kind of gross.
You know what? I would way rather play kissy or pissy than truth or dare.
What's that entail?
Well,
kiss
I mean,
it,
the
so you piss.
Yeah, kiss it. Yeah, kiss it. Yes, choose one. Exactly.
Okay, we can pitch it. I did want to talk to you guys. Given our situation, being in Lex's custody, I do feel like I need to act on this meeting pretty quickly, and it can go a lot of ways. I wanted to kind of pick your brains about. Kind of before we head elsewhere, like what should we do with the ring? I know you mentioned it might be a good idea to have it be arbitrarily found as though Beef's left it somewhere. Do we try to pretend to align ourselves with Lux to get more information? Should I just act dumb? Like, there's a lot of ways we can lean.
Based on the interaction that we had with Lux last time, I don't think playing dumb is the strategy.
Mm-mm. He knows. He knows we know.
Yeah, he's a smart fella. I think he knows what's up. Mm-hmm. Whether we want to lean into that or if we want to just ice him out, I'm not sure. Like, you know him better than I do. Like, Teaspoon seems mighty scared of him. I don't know. I'm apprehensive for you to fake being on his side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm invigorated by the idea of being able to get him to give me something he wouldn't normally give. Like a weakness or, I don't know, something that we can use against him that might inform, you know, whatever it comes to later on down the line. But it is dangerous.
The other concern that I have, Ms. Riot, is for your safety, because we've seen in the past that there is some sort of block on you against recognizing Lux's nefarious deeds. You mm-hmm. couldn't see his sigil on those boxes of android parts, and there have been other occasions where it feels like something was done to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that makes you particularly vulnerable to Lux. So whatever it is that you want to do, all I ask is that you let us support in some way and have your back so that should things go poorly, that we can do what it takes to get you out of there.
I support that. I think, you know, as good at lying as I am, I think he does have the upper hand, so yeah, I would appreciate that.
And as far as the ring goes, it may be that we might not need to be in Lux's custody for so long if the ring were to be found.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not sure which one of you two said it, but I think it might be time for JD to pull some weight here.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Like, let's give the ring to JD.
Mm-hmm.
JD will know what to do with it. And I don't know. Maybe there's an opportunity to sneak it back into Beef's desk or something at work, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's a Diplo. He has access.
He has the keys.
Ostensibly, he is a Diplo.
Yeah. Speaking of the Diplos, Crater, a funny thing happened where the hairs on the back of my neck stood up on end when we were being questioned by Beefs. And
okay.
I noticed the box wasn't in his possession. You know, I've always been able to pick up when an invisible entity enters the room or is created in a room. And anything you want to tell us about that?
I mean, like, I'm humble, right? So I don't want to call attention to myself when I do, like, a really cool thing. But, like, did you also happen to feel, like, kind of inspired when we were dealing with Wellington?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's going on, Crater?
I genuinely think that the Scalafaxa regiment that I have going right now is changing me.
Like, I knew it. That's awesome.
My stars.
Tell me more. Tell me everything.
I mean, like, I don't know. The last week or so, I've been, like, waking up and, like, being able to, like, tap my foot on beat, like, really well all of a sudden, which, like, is something I've always struggled with. And, like, it's just been tapping and tapping and tapping. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know. I can do some magic now, which is weird. You know, like, you know the saying, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, like, this old dog can do some tricks, and I just get like a little flare of sparklers out of my hands or something.
I am so happy about this. This is amazing. I'm just, this is everything I could have hoped for this thing. This is a huge breakthrough. This is like, it works. I don't know, like, how are you emotionally? I've been noticing, I don't know, just it feels like you're in a good spot. It feels like you're able to, I don't know, shrug off those feelings in a really healthy, powerful way. I don't know, like, what, how are you? Are you good?
It's tough at times, for sure. There's definitely a lot of things, like the dream that we just had, which is definitely, like, anxiety-inducing and brings back a lot of bad memories. But I feel like I'm better at containing it, mm-hmm. or, like, dealing with it before it explodes, right? Mm-hmm. I genuinely think the Scalifax is helping.
Wow.
Well, if I may say so, this could not have come at a better time, because if your rhythm is getting better, Crater, and CGA is just around the corner, we can use whatever new talent you've developed.
I genuinely think that the prospect of us performing on a stage, which admittedly has been giving me nightmares, because I'm terrified of the prospect. Like, I think the past week of me dreaming about being on stage playing drums has made me a better drummer, because, like, I'm practicing as I'm asleep, right? So I feel like I don't want to do it, but, like, I'm kind of excited at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Did we ever have Garbazine ship those drums out?
Sure.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get from the cold breaks to Thorough Lush. They're in the mail.
They're in the mail.
It's close to CGA time. Everybody's mailing stuff.
That's right.
Well, that's amazing. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
That is remarkable. I'm so excited for you, Crater, and happy that you're feeling well.
Enough about me. What are we gonna do about Vlad, Chrissy? I feel like this is like this daunting loose end that's been hanging over us for mm-hmm. the past couple of days.
Celestine just like narrows his eyes and spits on the floor.
Look, Celestine, I know you were all gung-ho about going back there and trying to kill Vlad, but
damn right I am.
I think this is probably a good lesson for us. Maybe like we just kind of lick our wounds and know when we lose. I don't think we're ready to go back in there and fight him. I genuinely think he's just too strong for us.
If he's too strong for us, then what are we gonna do about Lux Booker?
Well, who says we have to kill him? Who knows what this box journey is gonna mean for us, where it's gonna lead us? Like, I don't know. There might be another way. We don't have all the information yet.
Can I throw something out?
Yeah.
Please.
We know we're not strong enough, or at least I don't think we're strong enough to face Vlad, just us three. Which, as you said, Celestine, means we probably can't take on Lux, just us three. But what if we ask Vlad to help us, maybe?
What the fuck, Crater?
Well, okay,
you
hear me
so
out.
So chaotic, I love you.
Hear me out.
What are you thinking? All this Scalifax is messing with your brain, Crater.
Hear me out. At the end of the day, I feel like it comes down to who do we trust more to help us? Like, we either have the Chrissy route, in which she asks us to do something for her and we fail at doing, or we can go to the other side and ask for Vlad's help, who might have a common enemy with Lux. Like, Lux is probably bad for business with Vlad, right?
That's a good point. I recognize that the Vlad route is not great. I don't hate it. Given our past with him and feelings, and I wonder if it might be worth it to just approach Chrissy again and see if we can make a deal with some of Vlad's weaknesses, some of the information that we learned when we were in the networks with him, to see if that will satisfy. And if she snubs us, then we're out of options. And then Vlad, you know, as awful as he is a sad, strange little man who, yeah, he's powerful. We might have a means of getting him on our side. And that's a huge win for us if we go up against Lux.
If we bring information to Chrissy that hurts Vlad, does that just burn that bridge, though?
How would he know?
I mean, fair.
Is Chrissy, I can't remember, is Chrissy in league with Lux in any way?
She had information on him, and she was pretty open to giving it up for, like, for her own reasons, basically. So from that, you could intuit that, like, she's willing to give up sensitive information about Lux for the right price, which means she's probably not, like, trying to protect him, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
But in that same vein, just something to think about as we're discussing here is that if we do give her information, then we get, you know, she snubs us, we get Vlad on our side, then you know, maybe she has sensitive information that might foil what we're trying to do. Anyway,
exactly.
She has a price. Yeah. She's sketchy, not the biggest fan, but it might be worth, you know.
Celestine's just been here clenching and unclenching his fists this whole time, just like, this is all very complicated, and I don't love the idea of trying to make friends with either of these people, and they draw energy from people whose true names they have, and what happens then if we put Vlad or Chrissy, for that matter, in a situation where they're being harmed, and then we're the reason that they're drawing energy from their, well, let's face it, victims. I don't know. Look, this is above my head. I still don't know how to do this outside the law kind of stuff. And I trust you both with my life. And if you think that making a deal with one of these folks is going to be the right thing to do and going to be a way that we can help Teaspoon, then I will support it. But I tell you what, though, I'm going to have my finger on my trigger the whole dang time.
We'd expect nothing less.
I don't trust either of these people.
And I get that. I trust you both with my life as well. But we almost lost them going up against Vlad. And that scared the shit out of me. And yeah, we could go back and try to rectify, try to learn more. But like, maybe we don't. Maybe we go in for a second time and get what we missed last time. And then Lux is even stronger. I don't know if we can do this alone. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means Vlad, but we certainly need to exhaust our options before going in alone again, I think.
I mean, and selfishly, we want to take out Lux to help Teaspoon and Riot. Like, one step at a time.
That is why we're here. That is the goal. And taking out this Vlad person was never why we came to Paragarden to begin with. And I just hate him, you know? I hate his stupid face. He's a bad guy.
And I get that the right thing to do would be to try to help all these people. I just don't think it's the time or our place, you know? 50% evil. I wouldn't say that it's evil doing nothing here, but it's definitely not good. Maybe that's something for the future. I just don't think it's a right now kind of action.
Celestine looks at Crater and Riot, just like dead in the eyes. When we finish whatever it is that we're doing with this box and all this business is settled, I'm coming back here to put one between Vlad's eyes.
That is totally up to you, and I support your journey.
All right, then. Whatever we need to do to help Teaspoon and Riot, we will do.
Is Bark here?
You tell me.
please, yes, please.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you hear a crash from the corner of the room because Bark has just, like, started playing with the cymbals on the drum. Oh, no, there's no drum kit. Never mind, you hear a crash from the corner of the room because Bark is just fucking around.
He's trying to pull a curtain off the wall.
Yeah, he's like... Arr, arr, arr.
Yeah, you get it, buddy. You get it, Bark.
Well, we have that guy anyway. That's pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, just to maybe put a stamp on this, Chrissy loves you, Riot. Big fan.
Riot.
I'm willing to put money on. She's also a big fan of Barks. So
double
maybe,
whammy.
Maybe we can use that as leverage. You know, if you walk in holding Barks, like, she might fucking explode.
Crater, you are a genius.
That's smart. I don't like Chrissy on principle, but like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do that. But before we do we want to talk about the other day? Do we want to talk about that fucked up heap of information I don't know what to do with that we received?
You mean when we were coming out of the networks?
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, let me say I am glad that I am no longer the only one experiencing that. At the very least, we can all
share in the weirdness. I don't know what to make of that. I don't even know. How do we know that the information is true?
I suppose we don't.
Androids creating humans? I mean, that yeah. goes against everything that we've learned our whole lives. My short life, but...
What reason would they have to make this up, whoever they are?
If that was, like, put out there, that would just cause chaos, right? Because it goes against everything that we've ever known, right?
I don't even know who is giving us this information. It doesn't feel like the Arcana, that's for certain. But I can't be sure that it's the composite couple either, because that's not how they usually reach out to us. Who knows this? Who knows the truth of this history?
This is knowledge from a long time ago. I don't know what to make of it.
I don't know. How would an android even create a human?
Can I ask maybe just a historical question here?
Yeah.
So humans were around before the Big Oops, right? Like, there's like documents showing humans before the Big Oops.
Yeah.
Or,
good question.
It's mostly word of mouth, the history that remains from before the Big Oops, you okay. know what I mean? It's like, I don't want you to start theorizing about humans not being before the Big Oops. They were definitely there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Good question, because that was tempting.
Well, like, I don't know, my conspiracy theory hat is on at the moment. Like, the Big Oops 4,000 years ago, maybe somebody wanted to wipe this kind of knowledge out of androids to gain some sort of power. But
do you think Edict might know something about this?
100%.
I feel like that's another thing we should tap.
You want to tap Edict?
Somehow. Absolutely. Doesn't have to be you. Don't worry.
Ah, well, I mean.
We have a Spectre coin, don't we?
We do have. We can contact Edict if we need to. He's just as likely to be high on rat as he is of help to us.
Hey, I mean.
Yeah, I suppose. I look at Crater. Sorry. No. No shame in it.
I mean. I wasn't ashamed until you apologized for shaming
me. I know, and now I feel weird, and now I don't. I feel like I done put my foot in my mouth, and I mean, look, I'm sorry, okay? Let's all just have some coffee.
You know, if anything, his addiction to rat and his religious fervor might get him to talk a little bit easier, so I don't know.
We can certainly take advantage of this coin and the interest he seems to have in us, or at the very least, me. And, I mean, we do have some leverage on... Oh, we have some leverage on Edict. Mm-hmm. Because while he may have evaded Diplo's suspicion with the help of Beefs, we could have Garbazine keep an eye on Tudor Birch in case we need his testimony at some point in the future. We do have his evidence that Edict has been the one supplying Rat, or at least directing Rat to be supplied to young androids. If we could, maybe we can twist Edict's arm if we need to. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Also, just knowing the thought, like knowing the fact that he and Beefs are conspiring, like,
yeah, that's pretty damning evidence by itself.
That's
right?
Tea.
It is, though. I don't know how we present that evidence without admitting that we stole documents. I don't know yet, anyway, but
we could just say we were dragged in. Beefs pointed a finger at us incorrectly and gave over information that he really shouldn't have been giving.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's going to be hard to convince Edict that Beefs is incompetent.
He's a capable man, but he's not a smart man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm up for it if you are. What about you, Bark? What do you think?
Bark seems very confused, but supportive.
Oh. Well, should we confirm our order of business? We've got a lot of leads here, being Edict, being my meeting with Lux, our fate with the Fae.
Oh, yes.
Chrissy and 13.
Because we've let it sit for a couple of days, I think we should do Chrissy first, mm-hmm. depending on how that goes. Then maybe a trip to see 13, mm-hmm. get some answers on this receiver thing, mm-hmm. and potentially just some Spectre information about, like, what's happening at the end of this year.
Yes.
And then Vlad. And then Edict. I really don't want to have to deal with Edict on a personal level.
On a personal level?
Or it's just like, I don't think I've had to have a conversation with Edict yet.
It's weird. He's a yeah. weird guy.
To save you both from it, I could, I don't know, fake a religious awakening or something, he might just his pants.
Bulletproof.
Sorry, and then I think actually after Chrissy, maybe I'm trying to shoehorn in Lux. I forgot about your little meeting there, Riot.
Yeah.
We do have a busy schedule. I'm content to go along however you both, in your wisdom, see fit. But I do want to talk to 13 at the earliest convenience.
Okay. Let's hit up Chrissy real quick, and then we'll head to 15.
The 15.
15.
Yeah, the 15.
15. They're moving up in the world. Graduated.
That's their sibling.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And then we'll go see 13. Talk about that receiver. Talk about Spectre info. Bring up the Chrissy situation, maybe. And, you know, we'll probably have to deal with our debts while we're in the general vicinity.
I can't imagine we enter the phase zone and get out without at least a little truth or dare.
Yeah. And then from there, we can make our moves on Lux, on Vlad, on Edict, etc. But that sounds like we have our work cut out for us today.
And then band practice at 10 p.m.
Band practice at 10 p.m. Actually got us a spot. It's, there's a bathroom, which is surprising.
How are the acoustics?
There are some. So, that's good.
Do you know how hard it is to find a rehearsal space?
Really hard.
Around CGA time, like, get it.
And Paragarden just doesn't value rehearsal spaces. They're just really, you know, it's all about churches and
condos.
Too real.
All right, should we go to that Boston pizza ass place?
Let's do it.
All right.
Barks, come along. We need you.
Quick question. Are you guys dealing... You don't have to. We can save this for another time, but do you want to, like, deal with the ring right now?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to send it back right now. Like, JD specifically told you to, like, sit on it for a couple days because it would be weird if it showed up the day that you guys, like, started getting questioning about it, right?
But it's been, like, a day or two since then, right?
It has, yeah. So it's totally up to you.
Maybe on our way out, we run by JD. Tell him what we're feeling about his end of the bargain and Jet.
Yes, let's pay JD a brief visit.
Love that.
Okay, to the temperance room.
To the temperance room.
Yeah, you head over to the temperance room. JD is, what's he doing this time? Let's say he's pacing. Don't know why. He's just, he looks deep in thought, and he just kind of gently and methodically paces from one side of the room to the other. We pretty much established that you guys never knock, so I'm just describing this because I'm assuming you've walked immediately.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Great.
Thinking hard or hardly thinking?
That's a new one. I haven't heard it before. How are you guys doing? Laying low, feeling okay?
Feeling all right. How are you doing? Got a lot on your mind?
I've taken a few days off, which is a bit uncomfortable for me. I don't know that I've ever had more than a day off in a row. And I frankly don't know what to do with myself. I tried reading and I read every book that I own. And then I've just started pacing to see if it starts, you know, triggering some thoughts to come to the surface. And then I sort of got into the rhythm of it. And now I just am doing it because I like the feeling. That was maybe too much information for how I'm doing.
Absolutely.
What's going on? What do you need?
Well, we've been thinking.
Good.
And we were talking. And the ring.
Mm-hmm.
We think it would be maybe a good idea if it somehow turned up in a weird, you know, when you just like, you need to put something in a safe place and then that safe place ends up being virtually unfindable to you later. What if that happened to Beef's ring? In his office, in the Diplo sector, you're a Diplo. Just, you know, like, what if that were to happen? Do you think you could pull something like that off?
So I take it you are not intending to use the ring to garner, let's say, favors from anybody that you're, you know, trying to keep in your pocket. Let me be clear. I'm in absolute favor of this plan because it feels like we're staying under the radar. So just making sure that this is what you want to do.
Lux could be a person from whom we would like a favor, but that guy is dangerous, and I don't know what would come of us ousting ourselves like that.
Yeah, that seems like more trouble than it's worth, to be honest.
Fair enough. Yes, I can absolutely do this, and I could do it when tomorrow? Does that Does that make sense? I don't want to go in if I'm not supposed to be there. I feel it's a bit more suspicious than what we'd like to put on ourselves.
Conspicuous, for sure. I think that's fine.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Yes, if that's as soon as you're able to do it, then that makes sense. Though, I think we're all eager to have the Diplo suspicion on us eased a little, which we hope to accomplish by returning this ring.
Understood. I'll put it somewhere that would, to anyone other than Beefs, would just appear that he just misplaced it, which I don't think is a hard sell for Beefs, to be completely honest. Okay. Good plan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
JD, might I when I was being questioned by the Diplos, I happened to notice that, you see, they took my prints a second time, and then one scribbled down to another one that my prints were not in the system. What does that mean? Why might that be?
Well, it's certainly something they've been keeping an eye on, because if your parts aren't in the system, it might suggest that someone has made an android, you, potentially, off the grid. That can sometimes be in tandem with, you know, people stealing parts and using non-standard parts and not working with the Spectres, and that's a little bit suspicious. Typically, in that case, they'd need to find the maker, because the maker would be, well, they'd be charged with creating an android off the grid.
How do you find the maker of an android whose prints are not in the system?
That's a great question. It's probably open an investigation, to be honest.
Celestine takes off his hat. JD, I would be eternally grateful to you if you would keep your ear to the ground, as it were. If there was any investigation about who my maker might be, I don't know my maker. I don't remember them, and it would mean a great deal to me if I could get any information that would help me find them.
Oh, of course, yes. If I hear anything, I will be sure to let you know, and thank you for letting me know.
All right, then.
Okay. Good chat.
Good chat.
I guess we'll let you, get back to that pacing then. You've almost worn through the carpet in that area, so maybe mix it up a bit.
Oh, mix it up. I should try a new direction.
Have you tried, like, knitting or something?
Knitting? That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Can you stop and get me some yarn on your way back? That would be... You know what? I can just call for... Never mind. We'll figure it out. Thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah.
I love you. Oh, wait. Goodbye.
Oh, I knew he had it in
there. JD paces facing opposite you, like doesn't turn around so that you can't see his face, and he just goes back and forth.
Oh, all right. See ya. Let's go. What an odd man.
That boy's not right.
But in kind of a delightful way, really.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he's getting there. He's growing.
He is growing. He is. He's expanding his horizons.
As you start to make your way towards the door to leave, Riot, your pip lights up and makes a little noise. You've received a message.
Ooh, I'm gonna check it out here.
And it's from 13.
Oh.
The message reads, "Hey, emergency. Can you guys come up to the Fae Zone ASAP? Need to talk."
Shit. Okay. Bit of a 13 emergency. Maybe we rearrange the order here. Should we go up to the Fae Zone right now?
If they need us, then.
I can't imagine what it would be, but let's.
If it's just like the Fae are like really on their ass to play Truth or Dare and that's the emergency, I'm going to be so upset.
Oh, I'm going to be pissed for sure. All right, let's motor.
To the Fae Zone.
To the Fae Zone. Back into the elevator. Back into that decrepit, mostly abandoned zone, you step out and make your way to the cathedral. Are you going straight in?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as you approach the cathedral door, you hear a bit of commotion from within. And as you open it, you see that 13 is kind of contending with the, you know, beautiful branch and leaf made humanoid female fae and the uncomfortably tall garden gnome fae with the pointy red and dotted polka with the pointy red polka dotted hat. They don't see you as you come in because the two fae are like, "Where are they? It's been days."
Listen, I'm obviously grateful for everything you had to do. I don't know who those people are. I've texted, And 13 sees you come in and then waves, and they're just like, hey, I'm so glad you guys are here. We need to talk about a couple things, but we need to...
Come on, these are them. Come on, let's do this now. You've been promising us for days. Come on.
This is the emergency? This is the emergency.
I mean, yes, but there's more. Trust me. I promise I will tell you everything, but we have to get this out of the way. They have been bothering me for literally days.
We're not going anywhere until we get some truth or dare.
Oh my God. We want to play truth or dare so bad.
Wisteria deserves as many truth and dares as she wants.
Thank you. Yeah, I do.
Y'all are fucked.
We are fucking no.
13 sits down on the flower bed and sort of like gestures for you to sit down. And as they sit down, the two face it on either side of them, like expectantly as well.
Feed us.
Oh, that's so gross.
Feed. You don't. You, the problem is that you make this harder than it needs to be.
And grosser.
And so much grosser.
What do you mean? We're just trying to play truth or dare, a thing that the whole world enjoys doing, especially with the Fae.
Okay.
It's natural.
How many rounds are we playing here?
We'll see.
What do you mean, we'll see?
It like depends on like how good the first few rounds are. Anyway, we should get started if you're like in a hurry or whatever.
Sure.
All right.
Fine.
Truth or dare?
Who are you asking there? Big boy, huh?
I missed what you said there.
I don't know why you missed what I said. My speech is perfectly clear. Who are you asking there, big boy? Huh?
I'm asking you there, big boy.
Me? You're asking me?
Bit of an Elvis Boomhauer vibe.
I pick truth, huh? Elvis Boomhauer. Truth me.
Who do you have a crush on?
Easy, huh? Wisteria.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
We're fucking.
All right.
Cool. That's true.
All right. That's one round done. You know what? This is fun. Thank you for indulging us.
I knew you'd come around.
Cool. So we're done, right?
No, it's my turn. Truth or dare?
Who are you asking?
big boy.
Fucking truth. I don't know. Sure, truth.
What's in the box?
There's nothing in the box.
That box right there.
We have opened it. We've opened it, and there was nothing in it.
Oh, come on. There's got to be something good in that box. I can feel a lot of juice coming out of that box.
There is literally nothing in the box.
You can do, like, a lie test or whatever. It'll come up.
Well, fine. I trust you. Now it's Wisteria's turn. Wisteria.
Wisteria looks at Riot. Truth or dare?
Dare.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I dare you for the next hour to end every sentence with cowabunga.
Oh, for an hour?
Yeah, cowabunga. An hour.
Do you want to make this podcast unlistenable?
Or at least till we're done playing truth or dare, which could be like 6 hours or something. Gosh. I don't know.
That's the minimum. If we leave and you don't say cowabunga, there's no way we're gonna know.
Okay. Can we do a whichever comes first kind of thing?
Maybe, but I haven't heard a single cowabunga yet.
Cowabunga.
All right, that great dare was stereo.
Thanks.
Cowabunga.
All right, Wisteria, truth or dare?
Dare. Truth.
Well, I wish that I had given this more thought before I asked you.
that was my problem. I panicked.
That was the classic truth question, though.
What is it about the box that you find so interesting?
I mean, I literally haven't even seen the box, and I know that you have it. Like, I know it's on you, and everybody in the Fae Zone has been talking about it. Well, at least, like, everybody that I know, which are, like, the Fae, you know what I mean? Yeah, I just think it's really interesting, and I want to know what's in it probably more than anything I've ever wanted to know in my life ever.
More than anything. Agreed.
Yeah, right? Like, it's just, I just need to know. I'm so hungry for it.
I'm obsessed with that box, but I'm scared, too.
Yeah, it's a little frightening in a sexy way.
Yeah. My nipples.
You're all about that box.
I would say I'm all about the box.
All right, Wisteria. Let's do a follow-up. Truth or dare, cowabunga.
Okay, dare.
Fuck.
Cowabunga. Or truth, hey, whatever you got, whatever you got.
Hey, Riot.
Hey, what? Cowabunga.
Dare them to go home.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna do.
Oh my god.
I dare you to go home, cowabunga, and stay,
cowabunga. Wisteria's eyes fill up with tears. And she's just like, okay, well, obviously the sanctity of Truth or Dare is really important to me. And, like, I'm not going to go against it. But, like, I just think that was really mean. And, just see if I ever play Truth or Dare with you ever again. And she, vanishes into the floor, the, like, flower floor.
Oh, my
she's
God.
Gone forever.
What have you done?
I feel horrible.
Oh, that sucked. That sucked.
That was an abuse. Cowabunga. That was an abuse of Truth or Dare.
Sorry what?
Right.
Cowabunga.
Come on.
Cowabunga. Cowabunga.
All right, well, hearing that cowabunga certainly does take the edge off. It's my turn again. You. I don't know your name.
You don't know my name.
I don't know your name. The one with the cowboy hat. The less handsome one with the cowboy hat.
Hey,
and wait. Barks is like, burf.
Oh.
Oh, all right. That is fair. You are a handsome devil. I'm sorry. What was the question?
Truth or dare, huh?
Truth.
Thank you very much. Who is your best friend and why?
Who is my best friend and why?
You can only pick one.
I just look back and forth from Riot to Crater to... That is perhaps the most cruel thing that I have seen a Fae do in my short time knowing Fae. And you know what? That was a kindness compared to what you are trying to put me through right now.
This is the situation now.
All right. So I look back and forth to Crater and Riot. I say, right here, I point at Bark. That is my best friend. Because as long as I have known him, he has always been by my side. And he's always been happy. And he's always been a comfort to me. And he looks great in a cowboy hat. Answer over.
Darn tootin'.
Bark gets on his hind legs and does a little dance.
You see? He's perfect.
13 looks at the remaining Fae and is just like, how much more? I genuinely have things to do today. I want to make sure that you're satisfied because I do not want to do this again.
All right, tell you what, if I can do two in a row, just me to them, I'll be satisfied.
Yeah, if you guys are okay with it, this can all be over soon.
Yeah,
fine. Let's do it. Sure. Let's just be done.
Yeah.
All right, back at the beginning. You, big guy, Truth or Dare.
Fucking told myself I'd never say this answer, but like... fucking dare, I guess.
I dare you to make out with me.
Fuck.
Damn it. Damn it. It always comes back to this.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little taste. Wisteria won't mind.
Can I stick a pink belly instead?
What's that? What is that?
It's where you slap his belly because he's not going to do it.
Your belly looks kind of hot there, big boy.
I can make it pink.
Just a little one. Just a little kiss. How about a slap your belly and then a kiss on the forehead?
Sure.
That seems like the best deal you're going to get, Crater.
Yeah, I consent.
Okay. I slap you on the belly. Or,
ow.
Come on. Just a little tender one. Kiss me tender. Kiss me sweet.
Oh, my God.
Kiss me just one time.
Okay, I grab onto his head just so I know for a fact he's not going to pull that fast one. Where, you know, like someone like is like kiss me on the cheek and they turn their head real quick because yeah, yeah, by accident. Yeah. I grab him by the head so they cannot fucking move their head, and then I just kiss him on the forehead once.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, ugh, I spit on the ground.
Oh, come on now. All right, who wants the last one? I'll let you choose amongst yourselves.
I'll do it. Oh well. Ms. Wright, you're already saying cowabunga for the next hour. I'm concerned as to what the escalation of that might look like.
I mean...
But if you would like to go, then by all means.
You just had to do one. I feel like maybe it's my...
All right,
turn.
Sounds good. I'm good. I'll sit down.
Cowabunga.
Cowabunga. Truth or dare?
Truth. Cowabunga.
Fuck, marry, kill. Dead trees. Fae frogs. Fire-breathing swans.
Ooh. Okay, I'm going to fuck the dad trees because I have daddy issues.
All right.
Marry the fire-breathing swans because what a collaboration that would be.
Whoa.
Damn.
And I would kill the fae frogs again. Sorry, no offense. Cowabunga.
A French taken, but that's part of the game.
Sorry. Cowbunga.
Ugh. I feel full of cows and bungas and truths and dares. And now I gotta go comfort Wisteria. Thank you very much.
Sorry. Okay, before you go, thank you for being here. Thank you for helping me. Just let me know if you see anybody else coming up around here, okay?
Wow.
I will play Truth or Dare by myself with you if I have to. Just please let me know.
As long as you keep those Truth or Dares coming, we'll tell you who's showing up in the phrase.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Goodbye. Poof.
And so goes Wee Elvis, which was his name.
Yeah, in a puff of blue suede.
Hello, it's Jay, one of your DMs. I'm back again to remind you that if you're enjoying the show, you could enjoy it at us by checking out our Patreon. What is a Patreon, you might ask? Well, it is basically a monthly subscription service to us, Planet Arcana, the podcast. Sure, our show is free on all the podcatchers as it is, but we do throw in a little extra something for our patrons. For example, early episodes, without me blabbering at you in the mid-roll like I'm doing right now. But our most popular tier is called the Queen of Pentacles, and it includes an entire other monthly talkback show called Recharge, in which we discuss the episodes and give unhinged recommendations to things. It's a blast, and I will personally guarantee you will like it. Check out planetarcana.com or head straight over to patreon.com/planetarcana and scope the deets. Sorry. Of course, and as always, the best free way to enjoy our show at us is to post about it and tell your friends. We appreciate every time you do, and we hope to keep making stuff you like enough to talk about it. We love you. Thank you. Back to the show.
I feel like I can maybe stop the cowabunga stuff, right? Now that they're gone.
Yeah, they...
Oh, wow. Thank please, Christ. Please do.
Right, it takes 100 psychic damage. Yeah, they have been so fucking hungry for Truth or Dare. There's been... this is going to sound crazy, but this is not even the emergency I was texting you about. There have been people, like, coming around this area, like, looking for you guys. And I know I asked you to come up here, but I figure that you are, like, more equipped to handle it than I am, and I'm getting nervous. And luckily, every time someone's come up here, like, just looking for someone, and let me be specific, the people who are coming around are wearing, like, the dumb ties and the you know... It's Vlad's crew. The Fae have kept them away, luckily. Like, they're keeping these fucking, I don't know. I'm just a bit rattled, sorry. It's been a weird couple of days.
Shit.
When's the last time that these Tide fellows came by?
Last night.
Did they say anything else, or are they just asking after us?
Well, from what I can tell, like, I don't think anybody saw me, luckily, because I feel like otherwise... I wouldn't be here. Like, people have come around the church and they haven't necessarily stopped in here, but I don't want to take any chances. And luckily the Fae have been, like, on my side. It's been a lot of truth and dare the last couple of days, but, I think they've come around, like, 2 or 3 times that I know of.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, no. I feel terrible that we brought this trouble to your doorstep.
Oh my God. No. Don't apologize. I just want you to understand the scope of what's going on. It's a bit weird. You know, Chrissy, like, I've never felt in danger working alongside Chrissy, and now this. It's not your fault. It's not your fault at all. I, in fact, I'm just really glad that you came at all, so thanks.
Literally any time. What's your take on Chrissy at this point for us? We're thinking of paying her a visit to see if we can bargain with her with the knowledge that we have, that we've gleaned about Vlad and his weaknesses from the networks when we were in there. What do you think the likelihood is of that working?
I mean, Chrissy's fair, right? I understand that you didn't do exactly what she asked you to do, but you damn well tried. At least Chrissy's not, like, sending out goons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, our other option, if that falls through, is to just approach Vlad and see if he wants to help us.
Yeah, well, I'll support you in whatever you want to do. It's all a bit
It's a bit more than I'm used to, I would say. Like, I'm happy to help. I just don't really have experience in, like, you know, trying to kill a Namesferatu and the networks, and then it doesn't work, and then you have to, like, bargain with one of them. It's definitely more than I know how to give you advice for it, but...
13, did you know that Vlad used to work for Chrissy?
I didn't know that. Yeah, Chrissy and I have sort of a surface level relationship, even though we do like business together. I try to keep out of her business as much as possible because I just want to help. I don't necessarily want to like know, if that makes sense.
Well, one of the things that we learned about Vlad is that he is rather terrified of Chrissy.
Cool.
So that's to say she's definitely somebody to be afraid of, and... at the very least, if you're going to continue a relationship with her, you should just be aware and watch your back.
Thank you. It's not that I don't think that she would, hurt me. It's more that I don't think I've given her any reason to, and I intend to continue that relationship, that dynamic at least.
Was there anything else that you wanted us to know when you called us up here?
Oh, shit, yeah, the emergency, sorry. I got wrapped up in truth or dare.
Oh, people looking for us was not the emergency.
Great.
That's, yeah. Okay, so kind of a wild question, but would you guys mind jumping into the networks with me? It's really important. I just don't know how to explain this. I want you to see something that I've seen.
Can you give us like a ballpark vibe?
I got a message.
From who?
From Teaspoon.
Ah.
What did the message say?
That's what I want to show you.
All right.
I'm down.
Absolutely.
Can I just be a little shit here and roll an insight check real quick?
Ooh. Yeah, cool. Of course.
That's interesting.
There's no shit. There's no little shit.
Yeah, we've gotten very used to trusting 13.
Yeah. That was a 17.
They're definitely nervous, and they don't seem like anything's different about them, though, necessarily. Like, they've been pretty upfront with you in the past, and you suspect that, like, if they were lying or trying to, like, pull something over on you, something in their demeanor might have changed, but you can tell that they're nervous because, like, what they're trying to show you. Okay. You get the sense that they're trustworthy in this scenario.
Gotcha. Okay. It's been a minute. So, you know.
Totally fair. Roll as many insight checks as you would like ever.
Now, is this message in the Dream Network because Teaspoon is a human?
So, I mean, you know that I have to, like, jump between when I'm helping different kinds of people from me. I was able to talk to you even when you were on the other side. If we just meet in the first tier, as you guys have called it, I think I'll be able to show it to you. Or at least you'll be able to hear it. Does that work?
It does. My only concern was just how difficult and painful the transition from digital to Dream Network was the last time, and if there was some way for us to get where we needed to be the first time, that would be welcome. But we're here to help, whatever we can do.
Yeah, let's just try it. If we have to, we'll jump, and hopefully this just works. I've never shown a message to someone else. I don't know how this works. Let's just vibe.
Hey, we got you on the vibe department.
I knew you would.
Too blessed to be stressed. Let's go for a nap.
And so I think 13 might guide you to sit with them in the flower bed and, in fact, doze with them a little bit, meditate with them. And as you do, you begin to feel that familiar sensation of being pulled. Riot? Give me that D4.
That's two.
Oh my God. Is that the first time?
Yeah. That's the very first time.
Wow. Okay, so Riot, you feel yourself being pulled. Now that you've been in both, you can tell that you're going Dream Network bound. And the other three of you arrive in the digital network. But like before, you can hear each other. You can hear the echoes crossing between.
Hello.
Critter?
Ms. Riot, are you out there?
Yeah.
You're all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I can hear you. Is 13 there? There?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Oh.
Is that it again?
Listening.
Oh, God.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to try it. Let me know if there's any problems. Here we go.
Yeah, I'll see how this goes.
Crater and Celestine, you are with 13 in this sort of ambiguous space, and you see them sort of just look off into the distance, and when they do, a thread appears and connects from them to who knows where. It goes on forever. When this appears, 13 reaches up an arm and just plucks it like a musical instrument. And you feel just sort of like the vibrations of the string oscillating. And through the vibrations of the string, you start to hear a voice. It's Teaspoons.
Dearest 13, after so long without contact, please excuse the brusqueness of this message. I have much to explain, and not much time. I was terrified and ecstatic to hear our mutual friends mention your name at the Dragbrunchen. I can only assume you found each other, and so my window to act is now. I can't risk connecting myself with Riot. Lux won't let me out of his sight after this, and if he knows we're working together, we won't stand a chance. And so I send this through you, 13. When you're with them, tell them this. Tell them Lux collects true names. At least 50 by my count, mine included. These names give him power over us. From what I can tell, Lux can prevent us from speaking his name. Lux can put words in our mouths. Lux can hide things from our sight. Lux feeds on our successes. Lux can tell if one of us reaches out to another one who has our true names, and he lashes out against both. But Lux gets tired sometimes. Weak. I've seen it happen. Measured it. And his next vulnerability is coming soon. But I need it to be precise. I need you to find a way to make sure Lux is weak during the CGA final ceremonies, so I can do what has to be done. I hate to scare you all, but I hope you understand the severity of my actions in sending this. He won't know what I've said to you in this message, but he'll know. He'll know I've made a move on him. He'll know I've contacted 13. He'll know they have my true name. Tell them, 13. Tell them they need to protect you.
Riot, you hear all of this too from the Dream Network. And as the message wraps up, you all sort of come back to consciousness in the waking worlds. It dawns on you, back in Viridesia at the Equinox party, in a secluded corridor of the Solmazate estate. There, Teaspoon leaned forward, took Riot's hand in hers and said it, "They've got my true name." And as you awaken in the cathedral, you all turn to look at 13 in a moment of mutual realization.
They've got my true name. It's you.
Yeah.
Oh. So we need to keep you from Lux at all costs to keep this above water.
Yeah, but we have to help her.
We will. We will.
It seems like she's got a plan. Seems like she's getting ready to do something risky, something that might put herself in harm's way.
And we need to make Lux weak for the CGAs. So we need to figure out how to do that.
Could be the same way that we had planned to weaken Vlad.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just back up a minute here, because one of the things that stood out to me was Teaspoon's description of what it's like when Lux has your true name, what he can make you do. And Ms. Riot, you seem to exhibit some of those same symptoms.
Yeah.
Which means that Lux likely has your true name, even if you don't.
How is that even possible? I never got it. What the fuck? You're right, though. That would explain everything.
And that also means that he has some power over you. He has some ability to protect himself from you.
So, if that's the case, some good I am in this whole thing. I feel like I'm only putting you all at risk, if that is the case.
If that's the case, what it means is we need to protect you every bit as much as we need to protect 13 here. That's what it means. Well, we know when Lux's big sleep is gonna be.
The message was that it's happening soon, but Teaspoon needs it to happen at a specific time.
So we need to figure out how to induce a big sleep.
Didn't she also tell us that she needed a distraction at CGA's from her conversation?
Yes. I think you could maybe assume that these things are connected.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Hmm.
I interpreted that like wanted to go in, kind of like what we're doing, flat and like hurt him so he's vulnerable.
Well, it seems like Teaspoon might already have that plan. She certainly plans to make a move against him while he is weak, while he's vulnerable. And so it'll be up to us to put him in that state.
Sounds like we need the guidance of another name's Veratu, unfortunately, to me.
DMs, did Chrissy previously say that if you kill a name's Veratu in the physical world, that they just go into a big sleep and regenerate?
She just said that they regenerate in some way. It's not a bad theory. I just want to say that she didn't say that explicitly.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, perhaps then this is the information that we need from Chrissy. As you said, Ms. Riot, we need the help of another name's Veratu.
You need the help of another name's Veratu. Yes. The plan is all coming together. But Riot, there's a burning question in your mind that has been burrowing deeper and deeper ever since you said it. How did he get your true name? You've never had it. The only people that would have had it were your parents.
And they died a long time ago.
They died. Mysteriously.
Oh, my stars.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.